I met a fella for breakfast one time whom several of us young men had built a house for many years prior. I had not seen him in several years, so I thought it was going to be a God-focused reunion. All things started out great, but as the story unfolded of where his life had taken him, a common theme began to come out. At one point, he said he felt it was his job to find error in the church. Yep, he actually said that. Fortunately, I was not feeling like my pointed self that morning and did a much more mature thing and inquired further as to what he meant exactly. He said he'd been to almost every church around and eventually had been asked to leave at some point, church body after church body, and he just didn't understand why they didn't want to hear the truth. He told me he'd found error in their doctrine, tried to get meetings with the pastor and the board, met with different people in each congregation until finally, each time, he was encouraged to find greener pastures somewhere else. He had what I call an aha mindset. It wasn't aha in the sense of, oh wow, I just found something wonderful, nor was it in the sense of discovery with good intentions, aimed at promoting a closer walk with the Lord or each other, but aha in the sense of I've got you, or someone who was glad to discover distress or error in someone else. The way aha is used in Psalm 40 and again in chapter 70, it's like someone taking malicious pleasure upon uncovering someone else's wrongness just as suspected. It's like saying, uh-huh, just as I thought, I knew it. Friends, if we go looking for the messed up doctrine of others, we'll certainly find it. A man of God told me once, anytime there are people, especially people gathered together, there is always the opportunity for goodness as well as disease. In Genesis 9:22, it says, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. It was bad that Noah was drunk and naked, but it was worse that Ham pointed it out." Now, aside from all the deep theological interpretations and reasoning through Hebrew idioms concerning that scripture, I think I'm going to use the words in a much simpler sense. Ham pointed it out. Aha! Gotcha! Like saying, I knew if I kept at you long enough, I'd discover wrongness in you. And then turning to make sure everyone else knew of the discovery. If we hang around anyone long enough, we're going to see little things which we won't necessarily agree with. But the trouble begins when we feel the need to cast a shadow on those of whom we think we found a problem, and then running to tell others all about it. What do we hope to gain by pointing out the fault of others? Is it for the reason of elevating ourselves above them? Showing ourselves superior somehow? When we slander or cast shadows on our neighbor in the ears of someone else, what do we hope to gain by casting a bias like that? Pointing out the fault of others is the action of the world, which doesn't mind stepping on the neck of another to get ahead. If you had to hurt someone, malign their character, lie or cheat to get ahead, did you actually gain anything? Your gain is tainted, and it's got rot in it. And no matter how much you dress it up, spray perfume on it, somewhere in the back it still stinks and qualifies as ill-gotten gains. Habakkuk 2:9. Romans 14:10. Why do you criticize and pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you look down upon or despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God, And so each of us shall give an account of himself, give an answer in reference to judgment to God. Then let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another, but rather decide and endeavor never to put a stumbling block or an obstacle or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I think it would be better if we focused on our own problems, looking to bring our own lives in alignment with God's Word, rather than having a spirit of, aha, what a dismal, lonely life it is to go around finding out what is wrong with this church or that church. When we had a house church here, there was a fellow I really enjoyed. But after church, long about Tuesday or Wednesday every week for 2.5 years, he would send me an email detailing everything he felt I did wrong or could have done better. Yeah, every week. At first, I read his words seriously, but after a while, they were a hammer just pounding on my head. For 2.5 years, I held my peace, smiled gracefully, tried to encourage him, even ate lunch with him to try and make peace, getting to the bottom of it all. Eventually, I came to the conclusion he had an aha attitude and had been to many churches in the area doing the same thing, pointing out how they should be doing this or saying that, and they should be praying about something other than what they prayed about. Of course, one day it came time to ask him to stop. He got huffy and left. You know, when you have to do stuff like that, even though it's for the good of everyone who attends, it was also wounding to us all. Everyone was glad he took his complaining spirit with him, and was also sad it had to come to a confrontation. We learned, the person with a critical spirit usually ruminates on the negative. They regurgitate their freshly discovered errors of others and chew on them. They seem to have a need to find flaws rather than good. I think somewhere in their person, they are far more prone to complaining. They're always upset about how the church is doing this or that wrong, and generally have a problem or a complaint about something. I read an article in Coronet magazine by Dr. David Harold Fink titled "Release from Nervous Tension." In his article, he outlined his research into the causes of mental and emotional disturbances. From over 10,000 case studies, he discovered that there was a common trait with all his patients who suffered from severe tension. They were habitual fault finders, constant critics of people and things around them. Those who were free from tension were the least critical. His conclusions were that the habit of fault finding is a prelude or mark of those who were anxious and nervous. To be honest with yourself, do you think you have an aha spirit? And don't be justifying it. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What do you think? Thanks for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.